Before I begin the sermon today, let me just say what a delight it has been to be with you last Sunday and again this Sunday. And I'm just so happy to be with you and feel your love and joy for one another. And thank you for your graciousness towards me. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 through verse 21. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, may the words that I speak bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name we ask this. Amen. Well, a couple months ago, I was reading the Formations commentary by Judson Edwards, who was a retired pastor and writer. Edwards made a statement in his commentary on Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13 that simply blew me away. And this is what he said, quote, Jesus changed our understanding of church. Church is not a cold, boring place where we go every week to do our duty to God. Church is a warm community and a place of good news. Church is not where we go to memorize dogma. It's where we go to fall in love. End of quote. I just love that statement. Church is a place where we go to fall in love. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned in Rome when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. His letter can be divided into two parts, chapters 1 through 3 and 4 through 6. The first three chapters emphasize the redemptive work of Christ, who has broken down the dividing wall between the Jews and Gentiles, creating one united church. Jesus came to reconcile all people everywhere to God. In the last three chapters, Paul reminds the Ephesians that because of what Christ has done for them, they are to walk in a manner worthy of their calling. The bridge between these two sections of Paul's letter is the beautiful pastoral prayer I just read a few moments ago, found in verses 14 through 21 of chapter 3. And his prayer begins with this statement, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Paul kneels before God in awe and wonder. He has experienced God's grace and love in remarkable and powerful ways. His love for Christ was evident in his life and throughout his writings. And one of the best known verses that Paul wrote was in 1 Timothy 1:15, where he states, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul never forgot that he persecuted the church and was responsible for the death of Stephen. One of my favorite Christian writers is C.S. Lewis. Lewis tells the story of his conversion experience in his autobiography entitled Surprised by Joy. And he says this, quote, "You must picture me alone in my room at Magdalen, night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him who I earnestly desired not to meet, that which I greatly fear had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in. I admitted that God was God, and I knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most rejected and dejected and reluctant convert in all of England. I did not see what is now the most shining and obvious thing, the divine humility which accepted a convert on such terms. The prodigal son at least walked home on his own feet. But who can duly adore that love which opened the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking, struggling, resentful, and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance to escape." End of quote. For the same reason that Paul and C.S. Lewis knelt before God, for that reason you and I should be kneeling, for we are all sinners, redeemed by grace. Amen. The church is a place where you go and I go to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul on his knees was on his knees in awe of the boundless and richest graces of Christ's love. He begins his prayer here. It's a prayer for the heart, our inner being. And it's a prayer for the believers in Ephesus. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith." Christ dwells in our hearts when we are rooted and established in God's redeeming love. The word root in Greek is a horticultural term that has to do with planting in good soil. Those of you who farm for a living know the importance of good soil. Soil is essential to producing quality fruits and vegetables. As God's people, we need to be rooted in proper soil. Our spiritual growth begins when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. At that moment, the Holy Spirit ignites within us. God's love takes root within our heart, producing the fruit of love. The word establish in the Greek is an architectural term that has to do with building on a strong foundation. In order for a building to remain stable, it must be built on a strong foundation. The collapse of the apartment building in South Miami, Florida, caused many people to question the integrity of the building's foundation. The foundation of the life of the Christian is built on faith, faith in the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And Christ's church is built on that same foundation, faith in Jesus Christ. Paul prays that the church may know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. This love surpasses all knowledge. The cross of Christ is both horizontal and vertical. It is the universal symbol of God's great love for all of humanity. You and I should never doubt God's love for us, because all we have to do is look at the cross. How did you discover the love of Christ? Did you grow up in the church? Did someone invite you to church? Did you come to VBS? Did you come with a friend to a youth activity? It was G.K. Chesterton that shared his faith with C.S. Lewis while they were strolling along Addison's Walk at Magdalen College in Oxford, at Oxford University. That was the beginning of Lewis's journey towards faith. I grew up in a large family. I'm the oldest of seven children. And when I was in fifth grade, my family moved from Langley Park, Maryland to Silver Spring, Maryland. After we moved, we started attending Clifton Park Baptist Church. It was at Clifton Park Baptist Church where I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus in part because the members of Clifton Park loved me, and they helped my family. For example, I remember one day my Sunday school teacher inviting me to go on a trip with the youth to Ocean City, Maryland. The church was chartering a bus, and the cost of the trip was a little more than my parents could afford. However, someone paid my way. The gift was anonymous. Neither my parents or I knew who sponsored my trip, but the people of Clifton Park Baptist Church showed their love for me. And because they loved me, I fell in love with Jesus. Now, I don't know much about Boscadel Baptist, but I do sense that you love one another and look after one another. And for this, I commend you. In John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Amen. We know the love of Christ has taken root in our hearts when we love others as Christ has loved us. We know the foundation of the church is built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, when we demonstrate our love of Jesus by the way we love others. Church is a place where you go to fall in love with Jesus. Church is a place where you go to fall in love with brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul ends his prayer with an affirmation of God's power at work in the life of a believer. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine." Our personal ability is limited, but the Holy Spirit that dwells in the heart of every believer is mightier than you and I can imagine. I retired as pastor from Emmaus Baptist Church in March of 2019. Emmaus's minister of music is Sylvia Coates. Sylvia is also a retired school teacher. In addition to being the minister of music, she also teaches Sunday school, serves as the church mission coordinator, and the prayer coordinator. Sounds like some of you, doesn't it? She's a dedicated and delightful Christian woman. Recently, she led Emmaus to do something amazing. When COVID was running rampant in India, she asked the church if they would be willing to take up a special offering for the people of India. The offering was to be over and above their regular weekly giving. Emmaus is a small church. Their average attendance runs about 50. But on that day, when they took up the special offering, they collected $699. That offering was sent to India through Send Relief, which is an organization sponsored by North American and International Mission Boards of the Southern Baptist Convention. $699 may not seem like a lot when millions of people are dying of COVID. But $699 provided oxygen tents and PPE for many in need. $699 saved lives. When Jesus stretched out his hands on the cross of Calvary, he was giving his life for the whole world. What are the beginning words of John 3:16? For God so loved the world. At this very moment, there are multiple crises in our world. The United Nations World Food Program and Doctors Without Borders are both sounding the alarm over the situation in southern Madagascar. People are starving, especially children. Now, I know we cannot solve this problem on our own, and there are many more problems like it. But I truly believe that God's power working through the lives of Christians can make a difference. What would happen if just Baptist churches would band together and declare and commit, we will try to feed the people of southern Madagascar and help them establish a permanent solution to their food shortage? What would that say to the world about Christ and his love for every human being? What would that say to the parents of children as they watch their children die from malnutrition? I know we cannot solve every problem in the world, but I believe with all my heart Christ is calling us to do what we can, where we can. In Matthew 25, Jesus told us that when the world comes to an end and the kingdom of Christ shall come, we will stand before the Father, God the Father, and be judged. The question that we will be asked is not, how long is your Sunday school pen? And I have one that's about this long. Or what do you believe about the Trinity? Or whether you belong to an American Baptist or a Southern Baptist or a Seventh-day Baptist church. No, the question that we will be asked is this. Did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Did you visit the sick and those in prison? Love will be the litmus test for our faithfulness to Christ and his kingdom. Church is a place where you go to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Church is a place where you go to fall in love with brothers and sisters in Christ. And church is a place where you go to fall in love with all people everywhere, because that's who Christ died for. Where do you go to fall in love? It is my prayer for you, Boscadel Baptist Church, that this will always be a place where all can go and fall in love. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of your boundless grace and love for us. May Boscadel Baptist Church be a place where people come to fall in love with you. We ask this in the name of the one who is love, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.